As the Justice Department official in charge of protecting civil rights, Ralph Boyd is finding it near impossible to please anybody. Liberals and conservatives both criticize Boyd and the Bush agenda, but for opposite reasons. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports.
In 1997, several dozen women applied for policing jobs at Philadelphia's transit authority, called SEPTA. But they ran into a hurdle. To get a job, an applicant had to run 1.5 miles in 12 minutes, a standard that 93% of the women failed. 5 women sued. Their attorney, Michael Churchill, says the test was unnecessarily tough and discriminated against women.
It is the strictest test in the nation. It is stricter than the FBI, than the Drug Enforcement Administration. It is just miles beyond what any other jurisdiction requires to be a police officer.
The Clinton Justice Department sided with the women. The judge ruled against them, and the women and the department appealed. Then, when the Republicans gained control of the White House, the Justice Department pulled out of the suit. Michael Churchill saw it as a sign of things to come.
I thought this was a complete pullback from their commitment that they were going to continue to enforce the civil rights laws as they were.
Ralph Boyd doesn't see it that way. The civil rights chief says he took a hard look at the case and decided that the judge who dismissed the case was right. The test was not aimed at discriminating against women, but at setting a legitimate standard for SEPTA police.
That department is a running department. They've got to run up and down stairs and routinely run 3 to 10 blocks and then detain somebody after a long run.
Boyd says this is how he works. He looks at each case individually, and based on the specific facts and law of the case, he asks, is this a civil rights violation? But liberal civil rights advocates are worried about conservatives watching the hen house in general and about something called disparate impact in particular. An example of this kind of case would be an employee trying to use company-wide statistics to show his or her employer unfairly discriminates. This reasoning has become a staple of civil rights enforcement. But in a speech to the American Bar Association in December, Boyd told lawyers that statistical disparities alone don't reflect discrimination. In most cases, he said, he wants to see evidence the person has suffered from intentional discrimination. The speech confirmed the worst fears of some civil rights advocates.
Intentional discrimination is virtually impossible to prove.
Greg Nogheim is a chief legislative counsel at the American Civil Liberties Union.
If the department continues with this position, all it's saying to the unscrupulous employer is, you can discriminate, just don't say you're doing it. Don't leave that smoking gun.
Boyd says he hasn't abandoned statistical analysis, but he says there has to be evidence that people are not getting jobs or promotions for an illegitimate, discriminatory reason.
And not just take a mass of statistics and draw every adverse inference from that without making the effort to put, if you will, more meat on the bones.
Liberal critics have another, related complaint. They worry that the Republican administration will favor companies over individuals. They point to the case of the Adams Mark Hotels. In April 1999, guests attending the Black College reunion booked some rooms at the hotel in Daytona Beach. And as Florida Attorney General Robert Butterworth described it, the hotel was less than welcoming.
Black patrons, and black patrons only, were required to wear bright orange bracelets.
Several patrons, the state of Florida, and the Justice Department sued. The hotel settled out of court, agreeing to a 4-year effort to prevent such actions in the future. But earlier this year, the hotel's lawyers approached Ralph Boyd and asked to be let out of the agreement halfway through it. Boyd told them he would consider it. There was a huge uproar, and ultimately Boyd agreed the consent decree should stay in place. Defending his willingness to reconsider the decree, Boyd says he wasn't sure the Department of Justice could prove a pattern of discrimination throughout the hotel chain if it went to court. As to the larger issue of talking with defendants, he says it only makes sense to hear their side of the story, just as it makes sense to listen to civil rights groups.
The best example of that is the Arthur Anderson investigation. Would anybody say it's not appropriate to have any communication with Arthur Anderson? I think not. People would think it was nonsensical not to have those kinds of conversations. And so for me to meet with Adams Mark's counsel is not at all unusual.
Elliot Mintzberg at the People for the American Way disagrees with that. Moreover, he says, the department is undermining civil rights not just by what it's doing, but by what it's not doing.
We're seeing very, very few new cases being filed. We're hearing reports that new investigations are not being pushed forward.
This kind of criticism baffles conservatives like Edward Bloom at the American Civil Rights Institute.
If they're disappointed, I'd like to know why. Because the disappointment, I think, comes more from those on the political and legal right than it does on the political and legal left.
Bloom says when the Republicans came in, conservatives thought they would roll back racial and gender preferences in hiring, education, and the like. But they haven't done that. The first test for this administration was a case of Adirond Constructors. Adirond, which is owned by a white man, had challenged the government's minority contracting program, and the Clinton administration had defended the program. The case bounced up to the U.S. Supreme Court twice, and William Perry Pendley, Adirond's lawyer, had thought the third time would be the charm, especially if the Bush Justice Department would side with the company. Instead, the Justice Department said the case had changed so much that the court should not hear it.
They even went so far as to prevent the Supreme Court from ruling in Adirond when almost everybody in the country knew the court was going to rule 5-4 against preferences and quotas and strike down the ability of Congress to adopt those programs. And that ruling may not come for another decade.
Actually, the Justice Department merely asked the Supreme Court to drop the case, but for true believers, even that was an affront. Civil rights chief Ralph Boyd says conservatives shouldn't read too much into the stance on Adirond.
We have an obligation to defend acts of Congress that are defensible and to not ping-pong back and forth without real and clear justification for doing so.
Most conservatives understand that reasoning, and they're looking ahead to what they say will be the first big test of the Bush policy on affirmative action, two University of Michigan cases. Two federal courts issued conflicting opinions on whether the school's affirmative action policies are unconstitutional. The school, backed by the Clinton Justice Department, appealed to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. Eventually, the Michigan cases are expected to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, so conservatives are watching to see whom the Bush administration sides with. Edward Bloom is worried because this Justice Department has refused to switch sides in other cases, like Adirond and a case involving affirmative action at the University of Georgia.
It leads me to believe that because the Bush people took a walk on these other cases, that there is a good chance that they may come down on the side of the pro-classification, pro-racial preference side in this issue.
Boyd won't say which way the administration is leaning, but he's philosophical about the pressures of his job.
I'm not a Washington insider. I'm not running for anything. So that gives me the luxury of just trying to get it right and not necessarily worrying about who I please or displease.
His resolve will no doubt be tested soon. A decision on the Michigan cases is expected any day now. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.